I want us to go through the scriptures today and look at what God says about us living unto him today, what we've been called to after we confess Jesus Christ now, Lord, and believe God raised him from the dead, after we receive that Spirit of God. You know, it's quite easy just to live life after we become born again in our old man nature, or just please ourselves. But are we really seeking God every day? Are we seeking his direction for our lives? And, you know, and a lot of us will have great desire to move and to live unto God, right? I mean, I do. And sometimes we get ideas and we want to do this and we want to plan that and we want to organise certain situations, or, you know, where we can get people together. But have you ever stopped and asked God, what do you want me to do? What have you called me to do? What's the direction for my life? Do you want me to organise something, God? Do you want me to go and speak to someone, God? See, now we've got the Spirit of God, our life is to live unto him. And we're to be led by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8:14, it says that many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, God wants us to be led by his Spirit. When Jesus Christ received the Spirit of God after he was baptized, he came out of the water and the Spirit come upon him. And then he was led up into the wilderness. Now, I know that I probably wouldn't want to go into a wilderness. In the wilderness, there's nothing there, right? But he was obedient to the Father. And now we can be obedient to God. We can be obedient to that voice of God, that still small voice that speaks to us by that Spirit of God in us. So really, how are you living your life? Are you really living it unto God? Are you just following what someone else is telling you to do? Or are you listening to God and being obedient unto the Father? Because this is so important. And God wants us to have a happy and smooth and prosperous and blessed life. And the reason why he wants us to have that, so that our life shine out as a witness to other people, that they too can have this life which is more and abundant. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more and abundantly." So the first thing he points out, he says, look, the thief, referring to Satan, the god of this world, he comes for this purpose to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, but, which puts it in contrast to what the devil's doing, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more and abundantly. Who are they? He's talking about believers. And God wants all of us to have a blessed life. He wants us to have a life which is more and abundant in every single category. We're not just talking finance here. Finance is last. Everything that we do, God wants us to be blessed, to further his kingdom, to move with his word. So he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This word life is Zoe. It means fullness of life. And the word abundantly means superior in quality or quantity. God wants us to be superior as believers in this world in quality and quantity of how we live our life and the things that we have and the resources that we have to further the kingdom. The reason why God blesses us with an abundance is so that we can further his kingdom. Yes, he wants our needs to be met. He wants us to be blessed. But really, it's to further the kingdom. Are you furthering the kingdom of God? Or are you just taking care of yourself? And I want to go to Ephesians, because Ephesians is the greatest revelation given to the church today. And it's a wonderful book, and it shows you God's heart for us, that we've been saved by grace, not by works. We're not by the works of the law. We don't have to keep this commandment, that commandment, to be saved, to have eternal life. But it's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that we have this eternal life. And God has shown that, look, you're saved by grace. And this word grace is God's unmerited divine favour. In other words, God has done the work for us through his son Jesus Christ. And we receive it as a gift. It's a gift. In other words, if I give you a gift, what do? You receive it, you open it, and you use it. And so God has given this spirit so that we can really truly live a different life. So we're born to live. We're born from our mother, and we're born into this world, and we're raised up. But then we're born again. We receive the Spirit of God. That means we become born again spiritually. We receive Christ in us, the hope of glory, to live unto God. So are you living unto God, or have you got a mixture of yours, what you want to do and what God wants to do, and you kind of put God, you know, second at times? Or are you fully sold out to the Father because he's, you know, your life has been brought, it's been bought with a price, which is the blood, the shedding blood of Jesus Christ. See, now we're born again of God's Spirit. Now we're to be Spirit-led and to do the things that please the Father. And we please the Father when we're led by His Spirit. In Zechariah, God says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If we're going to build God's house or God's church or God's body, then it's going to be led by God. God is the one that builds it. We follow and do what He asks us to do. And that's living unto Him. That's being obedient unto the Father. And with believing comes obedience. Faith always has a little companion word, and it's called obedience. In other words, we do what God shows us to do from what He's working in us by His Spirit and what He's teaching us by His Word. And so we're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. And it says, "And you can put your name there, that's born again, have He, God, quickened, who was dead in trespasses and sins." See, spiritually, we were dead. We had no connection with God when we were born into this world. We didn't have the Spirit of God then. To receive the Spirit of God, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "Where in times past you walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now, who's the prince of the power of the air? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "It is the God of this world who blinds the minds of them that believe not, at least they believe the glorious gospel of Christ." See, Satan, the one that comes to steal, kill and destroy, he is the God of this world. And before we were born again, we was under his authority. But when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we received that Spirit of God, we were brought out of His kingdom, from His clutches, and into the kingdom of God. And it says, verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation." That word conversation can be behavior. "Among whom also we all had our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh," the five senses, what we hear, see, smell, taste, and touch, "and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were just like any other unbeliever before we received that Spirit of God. It says, "But God," see, God, our Father, "who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." See, God is rich in mercy, and He loved us. And He showed that love through sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ loved God. And He was obedient unto the Father. He was led by the Spirit. He always done what the Father wanted Him to do. Okay? And then He was crucified. He was buried. And then God raised Him up from the dead. And He seated Him at His own right hand, so that we can have this newness of life now. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, and have quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved." It's the gift of God. See, it's by the favor of God that we're saved, that we're made whole, that we're set free. "And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We're sat together in the heavenlies, in Christ. We're at the right-hand side of God in Christ Jesus. So we're in a seated position of authority. We're in a seated position of blessing, so that we can live in this life like Jesus Christ did. Okay? "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding richness of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith," believing, "and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." This grace is a gift from God. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't achieve it in our own strength. It was a gift from God. God knew we couldn't live up to the standard to be saved. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And now, because of His faithfulness, because of His obedience, we can now have this gift of grace. We can have this eternal life. We can be like Christ Jesus, spiritually seated at the right-hand side of God with Him. And it says in verse 9, not of works. See, we're saved by grace, not of works. What works? The works of the law. Least any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, or masterpiece. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So there's something that we got to do. See, we're saved by grace, so we can't earn our salvation. That's a gift. But God says, no, I've got works for you before ordained that you should walk in them. So what is it that God wants us to do? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has called us to a much higher standard of living, and he wants us to live what his word is saying to us and what he's directing us. Okay, that's being pleasing to God. That is where the abundant life is. It's not in pleasing ourselves and doing the things that we want to do or what we think that God wants us to do. We can know for a certainty what God really wants us to do. And in 1 11 it says, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wow, that's a sorry place to be. But thank God by his grace, we're not in that place no more. So we don't want to live like that. We don't even want to act or think like that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes or once were afar off are made nigh or near by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. For he, Jesus, is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle walls of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, now we got access to the holies of holies because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. We can walk in newness of life. We can live this life which is more and abundant. It's available to us. But it depended upon how we choose to live our lives now that we're born again, because we've got free will choice. There's some Christians that moan and complain because nothing happens for them. But are they lining their lives up with what God wants them to do? Are they really putting God first? Some people say they are, but the fruit tells something different. And we've got to be honest. And are we truly living our lives unto God? I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. So God's word pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. See, God's word shows us how we should do the things so that we can be successful, so that we can be blessed in our comings and our goings, that we can come in and out and be successful. And in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, this is Paul talking, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This word vocation is calling. So I beseech that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. See, Paul is saying by God, I want you to walk worthy. Yeah, you're saved by grace, but there's a way for you to live. See? And God wants us to live the right way before him, in honesty, in truth. In fact, we should have our stuff together if we're following what God is saying, if we're living and walking by that Spirit, if we're going by the written word and what God is saying to us, what is addressed to us. And let's go down to verse 14, because it says, that we hence, or from now on, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. See, God doesn't want us tossed to and fro. He wants us to know his truth. He wants us to know the direction and how to walk and live in this life. And in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Christ is the head of this body, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body of Christ unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. See, we're not to walk like the unbeliever. We're not to live like the unbeliever. We're not to speak like the unbeliever. We're to speak the truth in love so that we can grow up into Christ. We can speak the truth in love to one another. We can speak the truth in love to people that are sat in darkness, so that they can come to this glorious light, that they can receive this gift of God's grace by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. So now we're born to live, but now we're born again to live unto God, to be those living sacrifices unto Him and well-pleasing in His sight, so that other people have got something to follow. Other people have got an example to look up to and say, yeah, that's the life for me. This was the life I was living, but now this is the life I want to live. And if we go from verse 17, it says, verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. We haven't learned this way since we become born again. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man. We're not to live in our old man nature no more. Why? Because we've got a new man in us. We've got Christ in us. We've got the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead is dwelling in us, which is corrupt. This old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's what's in the old man. And be renewed in the spirit or the life of your mind. Put on the truth of the word of God. Listen to what the Father's saying to you from his word and by his spirit, and walk in that. That's how we should walk now. Not falling back into our old living, our old man. We have to reckon that old man of ours dead. That's what God says in his word. And we're to walk in this new man, this spirit man, which this is what we've been endued with power from on high. We've been clothed with the Spirit of God, which is the new man, which is the Christ in us. And that's what we're to walk in and to live in. And verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore? So then Paul goes to point out, this is what we need to do. We're going to really walk in that new man. There's some things that we can do. There's some work that we can do. Okay, and it says, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. We stop lying. Stop lying to one another. Be honest. You've got Christ and you don't want to start lying, especially when we know the word of God and what it says. And it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. See, when we do these things, we're giving place to the devil. And that's why you might be getting yourself a little tough time there. Are you allowing the enemy in? Or are you keeping him out? Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See, God wants you to work. Work and do the things that he's called you to do. If it's ministry work, then do the ministry work. If it's a circular job, do the circular job. And God wants you to do it 100% unto him, so that you have, so that you can give. Now, God doesn't want you to give away your need, but anything you have over your need, you can bless other people. You can bless the ministry work. You can do these things. He wants you to be in a position to give, not to, you know, God wants us to be the lender, not the borrower. And we can be in that position. We follow just what God says, and we just be obedient and just do what God says to his word. Then this abundance will show up in our lives. He wants to give it to us. It's there. We just got to tap into the power of God. We got to tap into what he's saying to us. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, we speak the word of God. We encourage people. We love people. And we encourage people to do the right thing. We encourage people to look to God and to go to God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, that Spirit of God is in you, and it's not coming out of you until Christ comes back. Wow. That's a guarantee that you've got that Spirit of God locked in there. And God says the way you grieve that is by doing your own thing, basically. Grieve not, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are still unto the day of redemption. See, when we do those things that Paul says to put off, you know, like, you know, just stealing and being angry, then that's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That is grieving the Spirit of God in you. It's not allowing God to work in you the way that he wants to work in you. You're grieving it. You're hindering it. See? Because God may be speaking to your heart, but because you're doing those things, it's the connection's not clear. The communication is being interfered with. See? So that's why we want to live unto him with an honest and pure heart. And we don't do this for money. And we don't do this for any other reason but because we love God and we're thankful that we're born again, that we have this eternal life, that we can share this grace with other people. It says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We can't walk around with a chip on our shoulder. We can't walk around as believers with grudges against another believer, even an unbeliever. We've got to keep our hearts clean. We've got to keep it pure. We've got to keep it to what God says. See, this is where God goes to work. This is where God is honored and blessed. And this is where you'll grow. And this is where you'll be free. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. And God wants you to walk in that freedom. It says, and let's quickly go over to Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ has made you free, has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The context here, Paul was saying to these guys that were under the law, he says, look, don't be entangled again with the bondage of the law. So now I'm saying to you, don't be entangled again with the bondage of this world, the old man nature, or religion, or what man says about God, but come to the word of God. Let God open his word to you so you can see his truth. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. So God wants us to be free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. And God says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This thing that binds you is a bondage. You can't move, you're restricted. We haven't been called to that. We've been called to liberty. We've been called to freedom. We've been called to walk as Christ. We've been called to walk powerfully. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. See, this is a wonderful word of God, and it pertains unto life and godliness. If you need answers, my friend, they're in here. They're in this word of God. And God can open this word to you by his Spirit within you. So we're born again to live unto God, not unto ourselves. We're born once to live, born again to live unto God. And that's what God wants us to do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we start from verse 15. And that he, Jesus, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, we're to live unto him. Okay, we're not to live unto ourselves no more. We're a new creation in Christ. We're a new person now. We're a new being because we've got that Spirit of God living into us. And we can make the commitment right now. You can make this commitment right now. Okay, God, from this point forth, I'm really going to 100% live unto you according to my understanding and you working in me. I'm not going to please myself anymore, but I'm going to please you because you've called me. You've brought my life by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You've filled me with the Spirit. You've given me this opportunity to walk a life which is more and abundant, to be a blessing, to speak the truth in love, that I can put off this old man nature of mine. I can live unto you. And in verse 16 it says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know no man, we know him no more. See, we don't look at other people in with the senses. We look at the Christ in people. We look at the potential value in someone. Someone that isn't been born again yet. Someone that is lost. We can look at them and see them as Christ and share the word with them. God will put that compassion and desire in your heart when your mind is renewed like that. When you look at other people in a wonderful way, not in a negative five-sensitive way, because they may dress wrong, because they may swear, because they may be doing something you don't agree with, well, I'm not going to share the word with them. This word of God's for everyone. And we're seeing when we got this mind of Christ on, we're open to share it with anyone as God shows us and as we're moved and as we have compassion in our heart for them. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. See, we're in Christ now. We've got that Spirit of God in us. We've got this Word of God in our hearts and our minds. So behold, all things have become new. People that knew me before I got born again wouldn't recognise me today. Not because I've put on a bit of weight, or my hair's a little bit shorter or whatever, because of what's coming out of my mouth, what's coming out of my life. People will read you before they read the words you say. They know there's a change in you. People can see that Christ in you. People can know there's a difference in you. Many people say, but there's something different about you. And it's not because I'm looking different, it's because of what I'm saying. And see, when we decide to live unto God, God will give us those words for people. It's not that we've got to search scriptures and what do I say, because you've got the Spirit of the living God in you, and God knows how to touch the people's hearts, but he needs a willing heart to speak his word. Have you got a willing heart to speak his word? See, if you're not really willing to live unto God 100%, how are you going to be really willing to speak his word? You know. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of Jesus Christ we've got to reconcile men and women back to God by Jesus Christ. To know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. See, God was doing the work. He was in Christ. He was the one doing the work in Christ. Christ was in obedience to the Father so that God's work could get done, because God knew what to do. See? And it's very simple. Not counting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We got this word that reconciled many men back to God. Okay, not just the written word, but the words God inspires by his word through the Spirit that lives in us. And it says, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors or representatives for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. See, God does the beseeching by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Before God does any beseeching by you, you've got to be reconciled back to God. In your heart, in your mind, in your living. See, God wants us to do that. Yes, we're saved by grace, but there is something that we have to do. We have to put off the old man and put on the new, as we are renewed in the knowledge of him. See, we need to put this word on. This word pertains unto life and godliness. Everything that we need to know about Jesus Christ and how to live this life is here in the Word of God. Then it says, in verse 20, we say again, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You are right before God right now. Not because you're a good boy or a good girl, or because you say your prayers in the morning, is because of what Jesus Christ accomplished that we are righteous, and we receive that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ that now we're right before God and we have access to God. And I'll show you this later on in the Word. Okay, now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 1 it says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. See, we've received this grace of God. To receive it in vain is not to live our lives according to the word of God. Not to live our life the way God wants us to live it unto him. It's in vain. In other words, it's useless. God doesn't want us to receive this free gift of grace in vain. He wants us to be profitable. He wants us to be fruitful. Let's go down to verse 14. And it says there, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Wow. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion or fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For you are the temple of the living God. So you're the temple of the living God. God doesn't dwell in temples made of stone, but he dwells in temples of the heart, which is us, because we believe in Jesus Christ. Christ is dwelling in me. Christ is dwelling in you. And we make up that whole temple, that whole body of Christ. Okay, because we got that spirit, the living God dwelling in us. And it says, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We want to do what God says. We want to walk like Jesus Christ walked. We want to move the word of God as at God's direction and what he shows us to do. We want to seek his heart. And Father, what do you really want me to do? Am I doing the things that you want me to do? Or am I just organising my own things? Am I doing things in my own strength? Because nothing happens when we do things in our own strength. And we're kind of mixing it up with the world, with the unbelievers. You know, God says, you know, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? See, someone that's not born again, they're unrighteous. Now, God is not saying that we don't have any communications, but we just don't hang out with them and pick up their bad habits and let it contaminate our life and let it contaminate our hearts or our thoughts. But we fellowship with the household of God, we fellowship with like-minded believers, being a witness to them so that these people can become born again and receive the gift of God's grace that we've received. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them. God said it. It is written. I didn't say it. God says, come out from your unbelieving friends. Why? Why does he want you to do that? So you can be a witness to them. You can be an example to them. See? If you're hanging about them and you're living like them, you're talking like them, they're going to think, well, there's no difference between me and them. Well, why would I want to have what they got anyway? Because we're living the same kind of life. We've got to be a witness. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, this word of God is powerful. It shows us what we're to do and what we're not to do, how we're to live and how not to live, if we choose to live that way. It's our choice. But why hang around saying we want all this stuff and you're not willing to live that way? See, God is serious, and I'm serious too, and I want people around me that are serious about God. Are you serious? If so, come and give me a call. Go and check out my website, www.powerfilledministering.com, or you can see our blog, graceloveandtruth.com. There's many wonderful articles, written articles, that you can see the truth of the Word of God and this great life we've been called to, because it is a great life. See, that's the people I want to be around, because I want to be a witness to other people. I have a loving heart and a passion for those that are lost right now. Just like God has a loving heart. Because that love in my heart for the unbeliever is the same, is the love of God in me. It's God's love in me, working in me. Because I want my will to be the Father's will. Just like Jesus Christ said, your will be done, not mine. See, and this is what it's about, guys. This is what it's truly about. Are you serious with God, or are you just playing church? You know, I don't want to play church. Do you want to play church? Because I don't. And I'm sharing this with a heart of love and just encouragement to you to really live unto God. Take a look at how you're doing the things. Are you really unto him, or are you distracted with other stuff? Because when you truly put God first, all those things that you want to do, you'll be free to do them. God wants you to enjoy yourself. He wants you to have a blessed and happy life. See, he wants you to be free, because you are free, because you've got the Spirit of God in Christ in you. So it's not that we're trying to dress the flesh or trying to do rituals, because we know we're saved, but we want to be blessed and we want to have impact for God. We want to touch people's lives. That's what it truly is about. It's denying ourselves, because it's not about us no more, but it's about the Father and his will. It's not about you no more, God. That's the truth of the matter. That is the truth. It's not about you. It's about him and what he has called us to do. Okay, let's have a look at some more of the truth of the Word of God. Romans chapter 6. And I love this word. You can't go wrong with the Word of God. It's our measuring stick. It's our direction. Romans 6. some wonderful rebels there. Okay, so now we're born again, we've been forgiven of sin, we're righteous with God, we've been cleansed, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what's been made available to us. And it says in Romans chapter 6, it's verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God's asking me a question through Paul. Shall we sin that grace may abound? What does Paul say? God forbid. We shouldn't just live our lives unto ourselves and just do the things that we want to do so that grace abounds more. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, that's the newness of life. When God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, bang, he was living, it was powerful. And we can live that life now, like that. See, we're to walk into newness of life, not oldness of life. We got the Spirit of God so we can walk in power, we can walk in authority, we can walk in love, we can walk in compassion, we can walk like he walked. See, newness of life. I love that. And let's jump over to verse 14 of the same chapter, I believe. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. See, sin ain't going to stop you moving from God. It's only when your mind's focused to do it that way that is like that. But see, sin doesn't have authority over you no more. And when we choose to live this life before God and to walk by the Spirit of God unto him, then that sin just falls off. It can't attach itself to you because you're walking by that Spirit. You're as Christ is. It's powerful stuff. And then it says, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were once the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. See, we've got to obey the doctrine that the word of God that's been given to us. That's what we obey to do, to live unto him. In Romans 7 and in verse 6, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. See, because there was a law, we knew that if we broke it, we've sinned, right? We missed the mark. The word sin means to miss the mark. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken an occasion by the commandment, brought in me all manner of concupiscences, for without the law the sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. Okay, I think I've actually read the wrong thing here. Yeah, let's go back to verse 6 of Romans 7. It says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, see, we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See, God wants us to walk by that spirit that he's called us to live unto. So it's pretty simple. Let's go to Romans as we're in the area. See, we make up our minds to walk on, to live unto God and to walk by the Spirit. Every day we have the choice. Are we going to walk by the Spirit or are we going to walk by the senses? Okay, so every day, just remember, you make the decision. When you wake up, you thank God. Okay, Father, I'm going to live unto you. And yeah, we have challenges. There's things we've got to do in life, but we keep God first. Don't let things come in that's going to stop you doing what God wants you to do. In Romans chapter 12, it says in verse 1, I beseech you, this is again God working in Paul. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, as your physical bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it our reasonable service? Because of what Jesus Christ done. Because of God's mercies. It's our reasonable service to live unto God. And it says in verse 2, and be not conformed. This word conformed is being fashioned. Okay, be not fashioned to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we put off the old man and its faults and its habits, and we put on the new man. And then we walk by the Spirit of God. And then that new man begins to shine. Then we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And verse 3 says, for I say through the grace, God's gift, unmerited divine favour given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God says, look, you know, control your thinking. You know, live your life unto to him. Live your life unto to God and Jesus Christ, and walk like Christ walked. Because it's available. We can do it because we have that Spirit of God to do it. We have that power and authority. And we have also have the love of God, which is energizing that. And in Colossians chapter 2. And we read from verse 6, and it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. When do we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord? When we confessed him as our Lord, when we believed God raised him from the dead. At that time, God filled us with his Holy Spirit. And now God is saying, by way of Paul again, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. And then it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Are you established in the faith? Are you rooted and grounded? Do you know what the Word of God says about him? Do you know what this Word of God says to you and what God is working in you? God wants you to be rooted like a tree planted by the waters. Okay, he wants you to be rooted. So your roots are right down, tapped into that riverbed of the Word of God. He wants you to know. He wants you to understand. Okay, as you have been taught. See, that's what you rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of man, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Don't listen to anything unless it's about Christ, unless it's about what God says about his Son and his Word and how he wants you to live. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. In other words, there's nothing lacking in what God's given you by his Spirit. He's given you his Spirit, he's given you his Word, he's given you the body of Christ, he's given you gift ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Okay, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. See, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand side of God, and all princes and principalities and power are under the authority of Jesus Christ. He is the man. He's the man. He's the head of the church. See? And I want to we'll read this to, it says verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him. Again, there we go. Again, we're buried with him in baptism, whether also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who have raised him from the dead. As God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, he's going to raise you up from the dead the same way. Mm. Bang, you're going to get up. Unless Christ comes back and you're still alive. But as he was buried, so were we buried with him. When he was raised, so are we raised. When he was seated, so we're seated. See, anything under the feet of Jesus Christ is under our feet. Okay, it's wonderful truth. And we just got to believe it. That's it. Belief, faith. Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a faith God. He needs your believing. He needs your full compliance, your trust, your confidence in him. Not in your friends, not in your neighbours, not in your job, not in your ability, but in him. We have to trust him. And verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespass. You're forgiven, man. No, you're forgiven. You're right before God. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Okay, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. When Jesus Christ was risen up, man, he showed off in front of those guys, and he says, triumphant over them in it. Then it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or in the new moon or on the Sabbath days. Okay, Romans chapter 8. We're nearly finished now. But I just think these are wonderful records to go back over. Even if you know them, even if you heard this teaching in a different form or from someone else, God wants you to know. He wants to remind you of what we got and who we are, not to forget these foundational truths of who we are. Romans chapter 8. And it says in verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is five senses. What you hear, see, smell, taste and touch. To walk by them now that you've got the Spirit of God is death. But now we've got the Spirit of God, we can be led by the Spirit of God. We don't have to go by our feelings. Oh, I don't feel good today. Or I feel sad, or I feel upset. The feelings, we just ignore them. See, and we're obedient to what God says. See? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, or walk by their senses, and their believers, cannot please God, right? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're walking by your senses, you cannot please God. That's what it says. But you are not in the flesh. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Is your mind lined up with the Spirit? See, there's one little thing. We just have to get our mind lined up with the Spirit of God. And we do that by putting the truth of the Word of God in our mind. And when that's lined up with the Spirit of God, we walk in power. We walk by the Spirit of God. We walk in the right direction. We walk on that path which is light. See? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Wow, we're going to be raised up, guys. You're going to be raised up, so isn't it better to live a better life before him now? To be a living sacrifice, to be a blessing to the world, and to go out and love on people, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and to help those people that are sat in darkness, that are hurting, bring in the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. That's the best life to live. And I know, because I'm living it. Therefore, verse 12, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh. In other words, you're not in debt to live to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh nothing. You don't owe the old man nature nothing. To live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or blow to smithereens the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage or servitude again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father, or Abba Daddy. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. See, we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. What you go through in this life compared to eternity and what God's got is a speck of dust compared to eternity. All the riches and glories that you could want, okay, compared to eternity is nothing. Even Solomon, who had all the riches and wealth and everything, he had everything a man could ever want and dream of. And in Ecclesiastes he says, you know, man, what's this? What have I got? I've got everything. What's there to live for? See, but we can live unto God. That's where the true riches are. And I want to finish off in Romans, because this is wonderful. Romans chapter 5. See, these are wonderful truths that you can establish in your own heart and work yourself. And you need to come to the Word and see what God says. That's why he's given it to us. It's available for you to read it. If you have a Bible, then read it. What a sad thing when we don't pick it up and read it and ask God to show us what he's saying. And in Romans chapter 5, we'll read this. Therefore, being justified by faith. See, we are justified by faith. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're justified. In other words, we are right before God. We're right before the Father. Okay? We have peace with God because of this. See, you're not at war with God, and he's not at war with you. He loves you. He loves the whole world. Okay? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? Jesus Christ. Also, we have access by believing, this word faith is believing, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. When the pressures come, we glory in them also, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. See, I can't understand people that say that we ain't going to go through a tough time, because it's all written through the epistles that we will have it. Okay, but we don't focus on that. That's not our focus. Our focus is to live unto God, whether they're good times or tough times. And see, when your focus is on God, it doesn't matter if you've got a tough time, you'll still be at peace, just as if you have no tough times. Because God is our deliverer. See, God will cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. There's so many promises in the Word of God where it says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Why would God, not conquerors, why would God say these things if we weren't going to have a tough time at times? See? If there's something I'm missing, please let me know. And I want to finish off here at verse 17, because this is the life how we should be living. Romans 17 says, for if by one man's offence, that's talking about Adam, death reigned by one. So when Adam sinned, then sin came into the world, and death was reigning all the time up until Jesus Christ. Much more, they which received an abundance. See, we got an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This righteousness, this rightness before God, is a gift. It's not because you're so great, all right? It's because Jesus Christ is so great and that we believed in him. That's what it is. That's why we're right. And it says, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. See, this abundant life, we should be reigning in life by one Jesus Christ. See, God wants us to reign, and this word reign is like a king, to have dominion, authority. God put back in order what was in the Garden of Eden, the authority and dominion that God given to Adam and Eve. Okay, they lost it, and then the Satan become the god of this world. But when Jesus Christ come back, man, when Jesus Christ came the first time and God raised him from the dead, he got that authority back. And those that are in Christ have that authority. We have dominion. We have rule in Jesus Christ. Because that's what God says in his word. We just have to see it. Let God speak to you through his word. So guys, I just want to bless you, and I just want to thank you for tuning in, listening to this teaching. Just come back to the word. Just, what is God saying? And just examine your life. Examine yourself, whether you're in the faith. Examine yourself. Don't listen to other men or women. You don't even listen to me. If I'm saying what the Word of God says, then that's fine. Listen to me. Okay? Just make sure it's rightly defined and it's what God says. You check the Word out. That's your responsibility. Check what I'm saying. Okay, so God bless you and thank you for tuning in. So.